Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, June 17th. We're back with you after a day off.
We are.
And it was a nice way to sleep in a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love not waking up with an alarm clock. It's such a pleasure.
I know, but life doesn't allow us to do that very often.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Well, we have weekends too.
Yes.
But you get to sleep in a little bit. Did you have a nice birthday on
Tuesday?
It was nice.
I had a great birthday. My dinner plans ended up completely falling through, so I went to dinner with my roommate. We had a really lovely dinner right in the neighborhood, so we didn't go to West Hollywood or anything like that, but I think that's for the better. And then I got an amazing massage to end the night. It was really great. Really? I did take that nap in the afternoon.
I can't miss my naps either.
The timing was right. I ended up smoking a little bit when I got home from the radio show. I had a snack. One thing led to another. And then before you know it, and my cat was willing to cuddle. So you can't pass up on
that's true. On cat you can't cuddles. Do that.
You can't. He was in full. He just fully let me just pull him in, and I just rest my head on him, and it was magical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about these cats, though. You know, my daughter texted me yesterday. She says, I'm seeing red. I said, what do you mean? She says, my cat, I left out 4 comic books outside for like 2 seconds, and he shredded all of them.
My cats don't do that.
And she says, you know, it was like she had a dedication in there from one of the artists that made the comic book and stuff, you know. And she works in that industry. She collects them and stuff.
Sure.
So your cats don't do that?
No.
She probably didn't think her cat did it either until they had the opportunity. I've never heard of cats doing that, but
they shredded the comic.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
It's probably maybe on the floor or on the bed or something, and they just decided.
My cats might sit on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, that's strange, right?
They do. They like to sit on it. If you put a piece of paper in the middle of the floor, they'll go sit right on it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But they will.
So what is it about them shredding shit all the time? I don't understand.
My cats never shred anything. They use their scratch posts and that's it. They don't do anything to our furniture. They don't scratch anything up ever.
Well, you're lucky that way, you know?
Yeah.
When my son had his cat, when he lived with me, the cat destroyed everything. I mean, the leather couch was unusable.
You have to train them. A lot of people don't take the time to train their cats. I trained my cats.
Really? You know how to train a cat?
You make a certain sound when they're doing something that you don't like, and they learn.
Oh.
Yeah. You have to be really stern with them when they're kittens or when you first get them.
What about when they do it when you're not there, you know? I mean, how are they going to understand what they did and that you're mad at them for that, you know?
Because I guess when you come home, you got to put their face in the thing and yell like no really loud.
You think that helps?
It does help, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They understand that?
I mean, my cats are angels. They literally don't ever. I mean, the only thing that they do, and it's not even on purpose, is if they're on my bed and they're stretching and I haven't cut my nails, so I'm responsible for it, or I haven't cut their nails, so I'm responsible for it, is if they stretch sometimes, they'll stretch their little fingers out and their little nails will come out and it'll put a little tiny pinhole in my duvet. And that's it.
Well, that's not a big deal.
That's not a big deal, no. Yeah. That's the worst of it.
Huh. I'll ask her why she thinks the cat did that. I don't know. It's pretty strange.
Is she leaving the cat alone for long periods of
time?
She's
got 2 cats, and no, she actually works from home, I think, you know, with her new job and stuff. So,
is she a mild person or a robust person?
No, she's mild.
She's mild? Yeah. That could be why the cats are probably walking all over her.
You think so?
Yeah, you got to really lay down the law with them.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
I know. I don't know, man. It just confirms my feeling that I don't want to live with animals.
Yeah. There's definitely and it definitely inhibits you a little bit, you know, you know, there's sometimes when they eat out of their bowls, they're dropping food out of their mouth on the floor. So, like, you got to make sure you constantly are sweeping up. Like, I could vacuum my floor every day.
Yeah.
And there's always something to vacuum.
Right.
It's, there's just a little bit more upkeep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely is. And then when you want to leave town or something, then you have to find someone to take care of them.
Yeah, that, so. It's true.
But I guess the reward is, you know, good enough, right? Having having them and stuff, you know.
Yeah, huh. Totally.
Okay, well, enjoy your cats.
They will. They're so calm and mild. In fact, like before I brought them here, I was, you know, my roommate had never lived with cats. He lived with dogs, and we have like a little solarium balcony kind of thing. And he's like, well, can't you just put up a baby gate or something? Because he has a French bulldog at his boyfriend's house, and you can put a shoe in front of that dog and it can't get by. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's like, can't you just put up a baby gate? And I'm like, a baby gate?
Yeah.
To stop a cat?
A cat, yeah.
No. And he's
not
like,
not going to happen.
Yeah. I'm like, they can jump on top of the refrigerator from the floor.
From the floor.
Yeah. And like, he's like, are you serious? He had no idea. So I had just given him the anticipation that like they could be climbing all over things. Like, I didn't know how they were going to be. And then they got here and they didn't climb on anything.
Wow, you're lucky that
way. Yeah.
Very good. Well, you probably did manage to train them. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'd go wild.
Yeah.
I don't know about my son's cats, how they behave, but he never says they do anything. But like I said, one of his cats, when he only had one, totally damaged my house.
No way.
Completely.
No.
You know.
Absolutely not. Sometimes in the middle of the night, they do their little skadoodling thing where they just start running around and wrestling and like body slamming each other. And sometimes they'll knock things over in the process of that, but not usually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And then they wake you up early, right? I mean, he says he's up like at 5:36 every morning where they want to eat. And
yeah, but that means the cat trained him.
Yeah.
The cats will train you. If they meow and meow and meow and you get up and give them food, they will know that if they keep incessantly meowing, that you will get up and give them food. You just have to ignore them.
Yeah, but how do they know what time it is? I mean, you know, they might. I can't imagine they would do that every day.
Cats know.
They would learn.
They know.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I feed my cats usually around like 8 a.m., between 8 and 9. And then I feed them again around like 8 o'clock at night. And every night around 8 o'clock, they both come out and especially Duncan, he sits in front of his bowl and he just meows at me. He looks at me and he's like, meow. Is it time? It's time. Come on, meow. And then he'll nudge his bowl. He knows.
Oh, well, cat people, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
We are going to have a couple of guests on the phone.
Ooh,
in a few minutes.
Love that.
They made a documentary. We were talking about plastics the other day, and this is what it's related to, I guess.
Oh, great.
The executive producer, his great-grandfather was the one that invented that. So we're going to hear the story about it, and it should be interesting. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's been really hot out here.
Yeah, it's warm in here today.
In the office?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Me, kind of cool. But, but I mean, the day before yesterday, I registered 119 degrees in my car.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's not the temperature inside the car. It's outside. But when it sits around for a while, the thermometer gets really hot, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So it settled at around 111 or something, but still.
That's hot.
That's very hot, you know. And it was like 80-some degrees at midnight, you know. Mm. So how do you fucking go to sleep like that? I don't like sleeping with the air on all night, you know. First, it's a lot of waste of energy. And secondly,
really?
Yeah, you know, I mean.
That's when I like the AC on the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. But I figure also I'm sleeping. I don't really feel it. So it's just a question of falling asleep, you know.
Oh, my gosh. I definitely will wake up without the AC on.
Really?
Yeah.
At night?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting.
I have to sleep with a fan on me, so I'm slightly cold at all times.
So the air and the fan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, it's a wasteful evening for me.
But I mean, think how many hours it's running, you know?
I mean, we just keep
it expensive.
Yeah, but I think it's my roommate and I did a test on this during the winter months when we would put it down and then it would get hot during the day because we have floor to ceiling windows. So it gets pretty warm in there. Plus, we're on like the seventh floor. So the sun goes right in. And so we would turn it, you know, all the way up, and it ended up costing us more to cool down the apartment during the day than it did to keep it at a certain temperature all the time.
I see. Okay, well, let's go back to that. I just see that they're calling a little
bit
early.
Okay, great. But, let's do it.
Let's go ahead and take the call. Bring up my notes here. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Ahead.
Hello? Oops. They hung up. We lost them. Well, they're going to be on in a second. So you were saying.
Yeah, so it actually sometimes can cost. I mean, obviously, this depends on your air conditioning unit. It depends on your space, how your windows are and things like that. But in our particular space, it costs more to turn the air off and then reboot it when it's hot in there to cool everything down.
I see.
Yeah, are they calling?
Okay, makes sense. Hello. Yeah. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Hello.
Yes,
it's
hello.
John and you.
Yes, John and you.
From the right coast. Is this the left coast?
That's the left coast. You guys are calling from the east.
Yes, sir.
Okay, where exactly are you guys today?
We are in Connecticut.
Oh, wow. Pretty cool. Yeah. We haven't had any guests from Connecticut lately, so.
Great.
That's a good thing.
Welcome.
What's the weather like there today? Are you hot, too?
Oh, like it's lovely.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, it's very good. How about you guys? How are you doing?
We were just talking about how hot it is. It's gotten very hot here. Like, this is like Las Vegas hot, you know?
It's not humid, though, so there's a breeze.
Yeah. But that's pretty much it. So, are you guys both in Connecticut? How did that happen?
Yes. Yeah. Well, we used to live in the same town, and we made this film together. Because we were doing other history projects in the little town of Redding, Connecticut, where you Carriker is.
Oh, I see. Okay. Mm. So, okay, cool. So you met there. How did you guys meet?
Well, we like to call it the Dance of the Tarantulas, you know, when filmmakers are trying to check each other out to see if there is good compatibility and honesty and good craft. And all that. So it turns out you Carriker was kind of spying on me as I was working on another history film. Uh-huh. And we seemed to like each other's style. So we kind of hooked up. I needed some good dancers for another film I was doing. And his wife is, and Sherry and you are really terrific dancers. So they did a dance scene for my one of my other films.
Oh,
and
wow.
So that's how we connected.
That's very cool.
So fun.
Yeah. Okay, so let me introduce you guys. John is the director of the film All Things. Is it Bakelite or Bakelite? How do you pronounce that?
Yes, All Things Bakelite.
Bakelite. Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay, and so John and Hugh. So you're the director, and Hugh is the executive producer of the film. And and I understand he was also part of the photography as well. Is that true?
No, he didn't do the photography. I was I kind of acted as director of photography for the film as well.
I see. Okay,
but we had some good camera operators on it around the country. But I'm a little bit of a stickler for lighting, so I took charge of the lighting the interviews and stuff like that.
Sounds good. Now, so tell us a little bit about the film. What is it about? I see it's the third documentary that you've made, John. And
yes.
And the film is due to arrive on a digital platform June 29th. So that's a couple weeks from now. And you guys.
We're going to be on, if I may say, we're going to be available on iTunes, Apple TV Plus, Google Play, YouTube, and Vudu Domestic. The name of the film is All Things Bakelite, The Age of Plastic, and it looks at the inventor, the kind of eccentric inventor of Bakelite, the first plastic. His name is Leo Baeklin, and he was an immigrant from Belgium, And he was a stubborn son of a gun and kept plugging away at this thing called the phenolic resin problem or issue. And he was able to solve it and create really the first true plastic in 1907. And so it has a lot to do with him and his family. And but we got a lot of goofy stuff in the film, too. We have some music videos and a number of fun things from artists and musicians, as well as just like research chemists and things like that. So right. I think people will find it entertaining and informative.
Right. Now, Hugh is with us, too, right? Is it Hugh, are you on the line?
There. I hope we didn't lose him.
Hugh,
are you there? Oh, boy.
No, you see, he hasn't said it. Yeah, I noticed he hasn't said anything. I thought he was probably not with us. But,
We may have lost him, unfortunately.
He's just really quiet.
Yeah.
Okay. I can continue with you guys. I'm sorry.
Okay. No worries. But I'm thinking maybe he wants to say something. Do you want to hang up, call him, and then call us back? Do you want to do that?
I could do that. You want me to, if you give me a minute, I can try to recontact him and then call you back.
Yeah, let's do that.
Great.
Okay, good. I'll be right back with you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah, I realized he wasn't saying anything, and I thought, you know.
He's probably sitting there like, I don't have the number.
Yeah, let John say everything.
Yeah.
No, but they were supposed to connect together and then call us together. So.
Yeah.
I have a lot of questions I want to ask him. I guess Leo Baekeland, who was the one that invented this, was his great-grandfather.
So amazing.
I know, man. So isn't it cool to, like, dig into your past and find out your parents were, like, famous, or your family, you know, your ancestors, you know, were a big deal and stuff.
It's cool stuff, right?
Yeah.
I love it.
I know. So, and that's a good thing, you know, that now they have the digital platform so they can be everywhere, you know.
Mm.
You don't have to, like, sign with a big studio to be seen, you know, and that's the amazing thing now.
I know.
With distribution, you know. Here they're calling back, so let's take that. Okay, are you back with us, guys?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Are you there?
Hugh?
Hello?
Yeah, I don't think you're connecting it right, John. But okay.
Try that. Are you there? Okay.
There we go.
There we go. Hugh, good morning to you.
Hey, Hugh.
Okay.
I barely hear you.
He can barely hear us.
Oh, okay. Well, Hugh, we're just talking about the movie, so we'll continue asking questions. I wanted to know, so Leo was Hugh's great-grandfather, right?
My great-grandfather.
Yeah, that's very cool. I was just talking.
My mother's grandfather.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. So when did you find out that you had, like, a famous grandfather, a great-grandfather? Was that early on?
I knew it all my life.
Oh, really? All your life? So this is cool.
Can't imagine that would be kept secret.
Yeah, I know. Very nice. So this was the first plastic, right?
Yes.
First plastic. Was he a chemist? Oh, I see. Okay.
Amazing.
And when he...
From Belgium.
Oh, from Belgium, yeah. Yeah, from Belgium, yeah. That's right, a Belgian chemist. So he had invented things before, I see, also the Velux photographic paper in 1893. So we're talking about 100 years ago.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Very interesting. So how long did it take to make the movie, John?
Oh, well, we worked on a number of years. I think it was 7 or 8 years. I mean, we also had done research earlier.
Right.
So we did a heck of a lot of pre-research on it and in preliminary interviews. So a number of years it took us to craft this film.
Oh.
And, we actually, Leo Baekeland would have been hell on Facebook these days because he wrote, I think it was 69 journals over his life. And
wow.
So almost every day he put in something in his journal. And so we tapped into that, which is actually his accurate words about how he felt about a given subject on any given day.
Right.
So that really helped us get into his head. And there's just a lot of research involved with that kind of thing, where you have to pull apart all this puzzle and this mystery of someone's life and how they approach things. So he was an interesting character.
Right.
He'd, in order to get himself cooled off, he would walk into a pool fully clothed in his suit and come out soaking wet, and everybody would laugh at him. But he was cooling off the rest of the day through evaporation.
I see. Mm. Wow. That's pretty interesting. Now, you know, this happened like a long time ago, so I imagine you didn't really have people that knew him to tell you any of the stories. How did you find out about everything? Is that from his journals that you find out more of the stuff?
Yes, from his journals and from my mother.
Oh,
and
yeah.
From Smithsonian Institution.
Oh, they have stuff in the Smithsonian as well.
That's really awesome.
Yes.
Wow. Very cool. So now, plastics, I mean, was obviously a great invention. We talked about it the other day here, about how it's transformed the life of everybody pretty much. And but now people are trying to get rid of it, you know, because there's a lot of it doesn't break down easily, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, plastic is really a double-edged sword.
Right.
We always thought of it in three phases, Sam. You know, phase one, when it was invented, oh, man, this is the coolest stuff. In fact, the singer in our song says, I wish everything was made of plastic.
Right.
And then we got into a kind of a phase where we just, you know, plastic was terrible. It killed the fish. It clogs the rivers, this, that, and the other thing. And now I think we are moving towards a phase where we'll say, look, plastic is good and bad. It really depends on how we use it and how we handle it.
Right.
And so I think we're starting to understand, look at with COVID, we plastic protected a lot of us over the last, 10, 15 months with plexiglass and all kinds of plastic stuff that kind of protected us from this virus. So, you know, like anything else, there's a good and bad part of it. And quite a bit of our second part of our film deals with the misuse of plastic today and how we might get our act together and use plastic responsibly and cut down on all the waste.
Right.
So important.
Yeah. So give me a couple of examples. How are we misusing plastic today?
Do you want to try to handle that?
Misusing it by throwing it into the environment.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
So look at single-use plastic. You buy a plastic straw and it gets thrown away and it ends up either clogging a drain or clogging the mouth of a fish.
Right.
You know, my wife every month says, John, would you go down and empty all that laundry detergent bottles?
Right.
And so I'd go down and find all these plastic bottles that, you know, she no longer needs when the detergent's gone.
Right.
So, you know, why do we have to do it that way? Can't we learn to somehow, maybe we can do refill stations? But a lot of this has to do with whether the corporations are on board to try to make a difference, and obviously people. I think people would be cool with it. You know, look at the way they've dealt with the plastic bags. You know, everybody was annoyed at first when they banned them, but now you pretty much accept the fact they bring a bag to the store to pick up their groceries.
Right.
So I think it's going to have to be a partnership between the corporations and individuals to get this problem solved.
I see.
And there's a new plastic coming out, reusable and recyclable and biodegradable plastics.
Oh, really? Wow, that's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
Now.
Yeah. Wow.
What is that made out of?
What's that?
Well, I guess the biodegradable plastics will break down over a period of time, whereas a lot of plastics now, if you look at some of the stay times, 400 years, 800 years, 1,000 plus years. So these new biodegradables are much quicker to break down.
I see. And also, I guess another way to address this is probably to reevaluate what we make. Plastic, a straw example, if we can make it from different material, that would help it. And also being able to recycle it, right?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
They have some great straw alternatives right now because they first rolled out those, which are kind of garbage a lot of the times. Like the straw gets wet and then it breaks in half. But I found sugar cane. So they make it from like, it feels like a very thin plastic. And it biodegrades. Wow. Yeah, I think the biodegrade time is just a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, alternatives out there. We just heard that a supermarket in Thailand that's using banana leaves to package certain kind of things in the produce department.
Oh, that's great.
And that's kind of a cool thought. But, you know, a lot of it has to do with the greed factor. Quite frankly, the corporations don't want to lose. There's a big connection between the corporate world and the oil industry, and they're not going to want to change, I don't think. We're hoping that's not the case. I hope they're on board. The big question is, do the corporations feel like they are part of our society or feel that they are a part? And their only job is to stuff money in their pockets. So,
can we talk a little bit more about the film, please?
Sure.
So, yeah.
Tell us about the film.
Yeah. So, in the film, go ahead.
Well, what would you like to know? It's kind of a montage.
Right.
Maybe you could explain some of the parts of the film as well.
Okay. Go ahead, Hugh.
Yeah, there are three songs in the film, and there are some wonderful people interviewed in the film. My cousin is in the film.
Uh-huh.
I'm in the film.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. So a lot of interviews and things like that.
There are some plastic artists, musicians, a number of research chemists, and family members. So it's a pretty good a sprinkling of different folks talking about the subject.
Right, that's pretty cool. And Leo was, I guess I see here in the notes, was called the father of the plastic industry. So it was a big deal. Did they know at the time it was going to be so big and widespread?
Yes, he had a vision that it would be used in every industry, automobile, aerospace, wherever it was needed.
Right.
And he invested a lot of time and energy in making it happen.
Right. Did this, I'm wondering, did this make him rich? Because sometimes, you know, you invent something. And...
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he was very rich when he sold the company to Union Carbide.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see. Okay.
1938.
To Union Carbide. Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. So definitely ahead of his time and was able to foresee what was going to happen with that, you know. So sounds very interesting to me, you know.
I feel like my life is parallel with him because my film is important for everybody to see. So we're showing it globally all over the world.
Right.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a cool film. It's called All Things Bakelite. It will arrive on June 29th, which is a couple weeks from now. And it's going to be available on iTunes, Apple TV+, Google Play, YouTube, and Vudu, and who knows how many more.
I think also there's pre-orders on iTunes now. If anybody wants to grab it earlier, they can go to iTunes and find it.
Okay, sounds cool.
And we also have DVDs in three languages.
Oh, wow.
Nice, nice. And then you have a website, All Things Bakelite, of course. And you can learn more, much more about this, about the age of plastic, and about the man that invented this.
Revolutionary.
So, yeah. So, gentlemen, we'd like to thank you very much for joining us this morning, John and Hugh.
Thank you.
We wish you all the best with the film. I mean, obviously, you put in a lot of effort into it, and it is meaningful to you.
I'm definitely going to watch it.
Yeah, sounds interesting. I'd like to see that. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you for having us on your show.
Of course.
Our pleasure.
Our pleasure. And thank you so much. And Hugh, thanks for joining us as well. I know we missed you on the phone call, but you finally were able to connect, which is great.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you guys, and all the best to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye now. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
How cool is that?
I know. I wish I could make a movie about my grandparents doing things like that.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, something is like... I mean, plastic is everywhere.
It really is.
It's literally on so many things in this room right now.
I know. And do you remember, I don't know if you remember the famous line from The Graduate, which was a movie with Dustin Hoffman and Anne Bancroft, and she was seducing him. He was like, I think, a friend of her. Child of her daughter. No, he was going to marry her daughter or something, I think.
Yeah, I saw that movie when I was a kid, so I don't remember anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I've seen it, but like, I basically haven't at this point.
But there was a line that where the father says to him, invest in plastics, you know, plastics are the future.
Mm.
And that was like back in the 60s, you know.
Plastic is the future.
Right.
But I really like what he was saying about how, like, we shouldn't have so many single use containers. There should be fill stations and things like that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I think that would be great.
I know. Yeah. Something's happening to my computer here.
Oh, yay.
Why do these things happen?
You have the look on your face. I can always see the look on your face. When there's a technical difficulty.
I know. Okay, well, we're back.
Okay.
Oh, wow. So, I went with my brother again for dinner last night, and you definitely can feel that there's a shortage of workers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everywhere you go, it takes them forever to bring you the food. You can tell the waiters are really like...
frazzled,
you know, right, and hurrying and all that stuff, you know, and it's like, how do you do this, you know? So
I feel bad. I hope people are being lenient with them.
Yeah, I think so. People understand, you know.
I hope.
But now Louisiana becomes the first Democratic run state. Up until now, it was Republican states that announced an end to the unemployment, the federal unemployment due to COVID. But now other states are joining because I think people are realizing that many workers prefer to get unemployment because sometimes they get double the minimum wage.
Yeah.
You know, so it's people true. Are saying, why am I going to go work, you know?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are reevaluating their line of work,
right?
You know, especially people who are not in a career job, you know, like servers, retail,
right?
Things like that. Not that people can't do those as a career, but
right
for the most part, they don't.
But the thing is, this is that in normal times, whether you like the job or not, you go because it's work, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you got to pay the bills. You know, many people do look for satisfaction from their job, which is.
Sure.
Understandable, you know, but it's a rather modern thing, you know. I mean, people have usually just worked at hard jobs, you know, menial jobs or manual work.
For ages. I mean, it's the dream to love what you do,
right?
That's the new American dream is to love the job you're doing. It's not just it used to be to have a job, have a family, blah blah blah, and now it's to find a job that you actually love doing,
right.
So you can dedicate your life to it. But I think there will come a point. I think some people, of course, there's going to be a variation, right? Like I think some people are going to find a way to figure out what they love to do and do that, and use the internet as a market for that. And I think some people are going to get to a point where unemployment runs out, and they do have to go back to a job while they figure it out. But all I can say is, like, if you have to go back to a job that you hate, just, you know, use your spare time to do things that you
exactly,
do love.
That
so
satisfy
that,
you.
That
yeah.
satisfy you so that exactly. at least while you're in that job, you can do other things that you that are fulfilling you.
Right. And especially when you're younger, you know, you got to pay your dues. You can't start at the top, you know. Everybody yeah. everybody works hard, especially early on in their lives before you have any skills or qualifications. And we've all done that. You know?
And
we've
I remember in my early 20s having a lot of friends that just refused to work because it wasn't a job. They're like, well, I don't want to work there. I don't want to work there. I'm like, I don't want to work any of the jobs that I'm working, you know, and I don't know if I was right or wrong to feel that way or if I feel differently now. But I remember my generation was kind of like really starting up with that when I was in my right. early 20s, like people really just not wanting to have a job. And like here I was with like 3-4 jobs right. at the time, just feeling
yeah,
like
see, you're serious about life, you
salty
know?
About everyone not wanting to work. I'm like, oh, fuck you. You yeah, know what I yeah. mean? But
I know.
I didn't have a choice. You know, it was
exactly.
either that or have nothing, you know.
Exactly. Now people have a choice and they choose not to work, you know, yeah. and get free money. But I mean, I understand that during the pandemic, many companies were closed and all that stuff. That explains it, you know, but now it's not like that.
Well, unemployment's not necessarily free money. It's money that gets taken out of your paycheck. So it's money they've worked for already.
Not the federal unemployment, not for COVID.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, the yeah. state ones are like that. Like
the state
you mentioned,
ones, yeah.
Right. But
which is not a big amount of money.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so
there will come a tipping point, though. I think people are just milking what they can right now, prolonging the inevitable.
Right.
You know?
No, absolutely. And that's why I think at this point, it's a good decision to do that, you know? Because, I mean, like businesses are closing down because yeah. they can't find workers. It's not just they're like on limited capacity or something, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm reading every day that businesses are closing down, you know? And that's not what we want in a recovering economy, you know?
No, not yeah. at all.
Yeah, so like a McDonald's worker, they have this because it went viral. A McDonald's worker quit their job by posting a sign in the drive-thru, and the sign says, "We are closed because I'm quitting and I hate this job."
Mm.
Yeah. Now, and this is the gratitude towards his employer, right? That people put their faith in you, they hire you, and then you turn on them, you know? It's
well,
like you don't
yeah,
like the job.
Yeah, they hire you, but sometimes they don't always treat you well. I've been hired
okay,
by plenty of people.
Okay, but you don't like the job, then leave, you know? I mean, nobody's forcing them to work anywhere.
Well, that's what he did. He left.
Okay, but you don't take the whole, you don't sink the whole boat with you, you know? Mm. I mean, this is like a... that's preposterous. I would have been so pissed. I would have sued his ass, you know?
Yeah, people aren't going to stop eating McDonald's, though.
Yeah, no,
they're
I know.
Keep
but
going.
This gives him a bad reputation, you know? I mean, come on, you know? That's.
I guess. I mean, it's McDonald's. I would never go to a McDonald's and assume that, like, all the workers were treated amazing.
Right, you know? But, I mean, to. And then he says we're closed, you know? I mean, you get up to the drive-thru and you think they're closed.
Yeah, I don't know that I would say that. I think that part's kind of messed up, but
yeah. But
I would just say I quit and walk out.
Yeah, either that. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's what yeah. you do. You know, I mean, you want to get on social media and complain? Maybe you can do that, but to do it on your on
right.
your employer's time and their property while they're paying you, I think is a you know is a slap in the face.
Yeah, I don't agree yeah. with saying that they're closed, but.
Yeah. Also, did you hear about this? I think we mentioned it. It was like a month or two ago. This Italian cable car plunged to the ground. Do you remember that?
Mm-mm.
No? So on the Italian Alps, they have cable cars, I guess, where you can tour, go to the top of the mountain.
Yikes.
I don't think it's the one for skiing because those were like the big cars where it held 14 people.
Can you imagine that?
And there was an Israeli family there with 5 members. No, actually, there were 7, I think. There were 14 people total on the thing. And so there was a family of the parents in their early 30s, a two-year-old brother.
And they all died?
The great great grandparents.
They definitely died.
They all died. And the only one that was left was the five-year-old, the sole survivor of all the 14 in the gondola.
Oh, and my gosh. A single five-year-old?
Right. And they're saying he probably survived because his dad clutched and hugged him and protected him. So what a sad story, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Do you think it was accidental or do you think it was...
They're saying it's accidental, but there were some mechanical problems that they should have known about.
Mm. You know? You don't think it was like a on purpose hate thing?
No, it wasn't. And now it's back in the news because they just released the video, and you see they had like a security video, I guess. So you see it pulling up already to the station. You know, I mean, it's right there, and then it kind of like. Drops a little bit, stays on the cable, right? But it drops a little bit, and then it starts backing up, going backwards where it came from, you know, without the motor pulling it. So when it reached the pole, that's when it crashed and just plunged to the ground. I mean, can you imagine? It's like they had actually, they had time to actually think about it, you know? About how they're going to die and stuff. It's not like immediate and shit, you know. So what a tragedy, man. What a tragedy. Scary thing. And
what happens to the five-year-old now?
Yeah, I don't know. They're saying he's in shock.
I bet.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, so he's in shock. And I don't know. I guess he must have been injured pretty bad. They're saying he's got a post-traumatic amnesia.
Mm.
He was saved by his dad's embrace, they're saying. Wow.
Yikes.
I know, man.
Can you imagine your whole family wiped out like that?
Right. Very sad. Oh, man.
Oh, man, I hope he has somewhere to go.
Yeah. Well, those were great grandparents, so he probably has... grandparents, and that's I don't know how he's gonna survive this, you know.
Yeah,
but he probably will. In other news, this guy who was cheating on his girlfriend was scheduled to go on a trip with his girlfriend to Turkey, right? But apparently he was cheating, so the girl he was cheating with got in touch with a girlfriend, and they decided to dump him and
go on the trip together.
Yeah, but
that's exciting.
Yeah, but to surprise him, you know.
Good for them.
So, so they get there, and then the other one gets on, and they're both like he sees them both at the same time, and obviously he's speechless, and. So he's been two-timing her, you know, for months. So apparently they changed everything, like his reservations and everything, to put under their name, so he couldn't go anywhere, you know. The saying his reaction was pretty stunned. He had never been speechless before.
I love that. It's amazing.
I know.
I love when both parties can like confront each other about it and be like, hey, this is what's going on. And then they right. become friends about it.
Right. Rather than be jealous and hate each other.
Yeah. Like there was a guy that I was hanging out with in my early, I think I was probably like 21 or something. I think I was actually younger. I was probably, let's just say 21. And he was a few years older than me. No big deal. Right. I think he was like 25 or something. And, I found out from a mutual friend who messaged me on MySpace and said that he actually has a girlfriend who's like 15, and sent me her page and everything like that. And I reached out to her and I told her had been going on and this and that. And they were engaged, actually. Really? Yeah, they were engaged.
She was 15 and he was engaged?
Yeah.
How old was he?
He was like 24 or 25.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So total creeper.
Yeah.
And I told her about it and she was like, oh, my God, thank you so much for telling me this and that. And then she ended up staying with him.
Really?
Until they eventually broke up, I think like a year later or something. But yeah, he definitely like showed up like crying and everything.
Yeah, I guess at 16, you can get married with consent from your parents.
I think so, yeah. If you're emancipated, maybe.
So they're probably waiting.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. Jeez, man. Also, what's a 15-year-old doing with a 24-year-old? You know, I mean, how much do they have in common, you know?
Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I can see the guy probably is just horny, you know. He'll take whatever he can get.
Sure.
But the younger girl, yeah, I don't know. I guess
they think they're like it's like a status thing,
right?
You know, like I remember being in middle school and high school, and like having friends who had much older boyfriends and stuff, and we all thought it was like really cool and stuff. And now that I'm an adult, I'm like, no, that was creepy,
right? But, you know, but it used to be a year or two. I mean, at that age, if they're older than you by 2 years, that's a lot.
It's a lot, yeah,
right?
Totally.
So,
yeah,
that's crazy, man.
Definitely
unusual.
Yeah, he showed up crying and everything at my house. He was really? Like, "I'm sorry." He was like,
"How old did you say you were at the time?"
I was like 20 or 21.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I was like,
still
yeah, no.
older than you. I remember when I was 21, I had a 25-year-old girlfriend.
Yeah.
And that was pretty weird, you know.
Yeah, I know. At that age, like. Age seems bigger than it is sometimes.
Right.
But at the same time, you're like, whatever, I'm old enough. You
right,
know,
exactly.
You think you're so much older. And
at that age, you feel better about yourself when you're like with an older woman. You're like, oh, she's interested in me. I must be mature enough for interesting enough for her, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
I've definitely dated a few guys that were a bit younger than me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you were saying that. Hey, whatever works, you know?
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Who cares? I don't deliberately go after a certain age. I just
it
meet
just happens,
people and
huh?
then I realize that they're younger than me.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right.
You know, Facebook started having dating on there now.
That's how my friend met her husband.
Really?
Yeah, they were doing that a long time ago. They had like a Facebook dating thing.
Oh, it was a long time ago?
Yeah, I think it like went away and came back. But
yeah.
That's how they met. He's from the UK. And now they live together in Florida.
Wow, really
yeah.
nice.
I guess.
Yeah. I sort of matched with someone, so we talked the other night, but...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, our energy level was not where I was hoping it would be.
What do you mean? Tell me more.
She just kind of like talks without a lot of energy. You know?
Okay, like over the phone?
Over the phone,
okay, yeah.
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 So I don't know, you know?
If people talk really slowly, sometimes that gets on my nerves.
Right.
I'm like, speed it up.
Right, exactly. You
yeah.
know? Yeah, it's funny because at one time we had matchmakers on. So they invited me to be on their database, you know, for women that are looking for someone. And so she contacted me and we did FaceTime. The matchmaker did
because
they do the work for you kind of
sure.
thing. So she's like, she talks to me at the end. She says, you know, I don't know that the energy is there, you know, the energy level is compatible.
Mm.
I'm like, what the fuck? What is she like, you know, going 50 miles an hour, you know? I mean, I'm not a guy who's exactly slow, you know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Totally.
So I don't know what she was talking about, but I felt God, you know, I mean, there's so many variables that have to match for someone to get along with you, you know?
I
a
guess,
lot of variables.
Yeah. But then sometimes it defies that.
Yeah, but,
you know?
Yeah, if you find something in common. If there's something very strong, I guess it can cover over the things that are not as important, you know? But
sure,
when you start
at least
thinking
for a while.
Looks, energy, smarts, nurturing, warm, loyal, you know, all these things, you know, it's like,
yeah.
How are you going to find all that? You know, the chances of finding it in one person are not very high, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why it's hard to find people, you know, and today we expect our partners to be everything to us, a friend, a wife, a husband, you know, a mother.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, you know.
It's a lot of pressure to put on ourselves to find a person, and it's a lot of pressure to put on another person to be that person.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, we're totally out of time.
All righty.
We wish everybody a great weekend. We usually, well, now we're not on Fridays. So have everybody a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
See you Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.